This is the For Life and Godliness podcast. Welcome back to For Life and Godliness. This is Season 2, Episode 22. Now, on today's episode, I want to do something a little different. I want to put before you a man of God. And I want to encourage you to go out and get his autobiography. It's pretty cheap. You can get it on Amazon for about $10. Some other places maybe a little cheaper. But it's the autobiography of George Mueller. I believe this work will greatly edify your life. But I want to tell you a little bit about the man, George Mueller. And there are going to be some parts where I'm quoting from his autobiography. But Mueller was born in Kroppenstadt in the Kingdom of Prussia. He was born on September 27th, 1805. And now the Kingdom of Prussia is what we know today as the areas of Germany and Poland and Austria. Now, at a young age, George began stealing from his father and from his father's associates. His father was a tax collector, so he would take some of that tax money, and that would force his father to have to make up the differences out of his own pocket. Now, at age 11, George's father sent him to be prepared for the university. He sent him off to actually learn to become a clergyman, to study to become a clergyman. But the purpose was not for serving God. The purpose was so that Mueller would have a comfortable life. So Mueller admits that studying, reading novels, and indulging in sinful practices were his favorite pastimes. He was fully given to his sin. So much so that when his mother died, and his mother died pretty suddenly, he was 14 years old, and he says, quote, "That night," this is the night that his mother died, "that night I played cards until 2 a.m. and went to the tavern the next day. Her death made no lasting impression on me. Instead, I grew worse." Period. Close quote. He continued indulging in a life of sin. Even after his confirmation, he would continue to take the Lord's Supper in an unholy manner. So this is someone who has been confirmed to the ministry, and now they are continually partaking of the Lord's Supper in an unholy manner. The very thing that Paul actually tells us not to do in Corinthians. And why does Paul say not to do that? What does he say is the result? He says you have people dying and getting sick because they're treating the Lord's Supper as though it's nothing. That is what Mueller did. Now, he continued in a life of sin, which led him to prison at the age of 16. He continually made these resolves that we all do to change and to live differently. So he would change his companions, he would change the establishments that he visited, and yet nothing brought about the change that only true faith and true repentance can bring through the gospel message. So much of this is similar to us, is it not? We know when we do wrong, so we think that if we change our friends, if we change our environment, then we will change. I want you to consider at that point Adam. Because Adam was in the perfect environment when he sinned. So it has nothing to do about the environment we're in. It has nothing to do with the company we keep, right? Adam's company was his own wife, which was formed from his own rib. And yet, he sinned. It's not about changing our circumstances in order to be different. It is submission to the gospel of Christ that changes us, makes us different, and then we change our circumstances accordingly. And that is what happened with George Mueller. When he was in his 20s, he heard the gospel message for the first time. So just consider the fact that he was confirmed as a clergyman, right? He was, and this was several years prior, that he was confirmed as a clergyman, but only now he's hearing the gospel message. But nevertheless, he submitted to the gospel. He repented of his sin, and the Lord showed him mercy. Not long after his conversion, he was asked to preach. Now, he was still trying to discover his own manner of preaching, but while doing that, he knew one thing to be true. He says, quote, "I knew that the truth should be preached at all costs," period, end quote. As he grew in his faith, he still had little desire for the scriptures. He says of himself, quote, "I was growing in the faith and knowledge of Jesus, but I still preferred reading religious books instead of scripture," period, end quote. Now, in this admission of Mueller, we should see a lot of ourselves, especially those of us who are in the ministry. Don't we so often prefer reading the words of uninspired men about the Word of God rather than giving ourselves to the study of Scripture, right? We continually want secondhand knowledge rather than to go to the Lord ourselves. Now, for Mueller, a series of events that were orchestrated by the providence of God allowed him to get a full dismissal from the required military service that all Prussian males had to serve. And after he gained that dismissal, he set out for London. And the purpose of him going to London was to be trained by the London Missionary Society to be a missionary to the Jews. But once he arrived in London, he became very ill. And it was in this time that he took several weeks and he gave himself to nothing but scripture and prayer. So prior to his arriving in London, he heard a sermon that really affected him. It really cut him to the heart. Mueller had grown up in a man-centered, with a man-centered gospel message. One that focused on man's rights, on man's will. It was an elevation of man. And this sermon that cut him to the heart was about the sovereignty of God. So during his illness, having given himself to the study of God's word in light of the teaching of God's sovereignty, he recounts this. He says, quote, "Now I learned that the Father chose us before the foundation of the world. He originated the wonderful plan of our redemption, and he also arranged the way it was to be brought about. The Son fulfilled the law and bore the punishment due to our sins, satisfying the justice of God. Finally, the Holy Spirit alone can teach us about our sinful state, show us the need of a Savior, enable us to believe in Christ, explain the Scriptures to us, and help us preach the Word," period, end quote. Mueller clung tightly to the notion of the Holy Spirit as the divine teacher in a person when they come to the Word of God. Soon, he would actually put down his commentaries and approach the Scriptures with nothing more than prayer and meditation, relying upon the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Eventually, Mueller would leave the London Missionary Society, which had provided him his room and board and his food. It wouldn't be long where he was solely relying upon the graciousness of God and learning to live by faith. Now, before we get to Mueller living by faith, it's important to hear about his preaching method. He believed that the most beneficial method was to expound the Scriptures, or what we today would call expository preaching. When preaching, he would draw out his sermons in an eloquent and an almost academic format. However, in doing this, he felt as though he was preaching under his own power rather than being led by the Holy Spirit. And he didn't feel that his words were really landing with the people that he was trying to teach. His words were going over their head. For his people, Mueller discovered that simplicity and expression was the best way for the congregation to grasp the truths that he was trying to relay. Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, he was in France when he heard George Mueller teach a Bible class. And Spurgeon said this. He said, quote, "Well now, that is a very simple talk. A child from Sunday school might almost say all that he has said. Yet, I was edified to the highest degree." Period, end quote. Well, that was his teaching method. Expounding the scriptures in a simple way that a child or an illiterate person could understand. In 1830, he married Mary Groves, and the two began their journey of living by faith. Mueller had given up his salary, stating that, quote, "fear of offending those who pay his salary has kept many ministers from preaching the uncompromising word of God," period, end quote. So, in order to not be beholden to any person in his church and their personal preference, their pocketbook, in order to avoid the idea of telling people just what they want to hear so that they continue to come back and fill the seats and to give the money, which we see a lot of today, Mueller decided he would just forego his salary. That way, people just, they couldn't say, oh, well, you're cutting corners. You're saying these things. You're avoiding these things because this person is continuing to give all the money. He decided that he didn't need his salary. Then there was this exchange between Mueller, who at a time needed money for food and for rent, and a woman from his church. Mueller had gone to the Lord praying for provisions, that their simple needs would be met. Then a woman came to his door and she asks, "Do you want any money?" To which Mueller replied, "I told the brethren when I gave up my salary that I would tell the Lord only about my wants." Her reply was to say that that was the very reason she was there. The Lord had brought her to give him enough money to last the rest of the week. And this would be the pattern of Mueller's life. He documents time after time of his family having almost no funds, Mueller taking it to the Lord in prayer, and the Lord providing all that they needed. But not just for Mueller and his family, this happened also for the orphanages that he ran as well. In 1832, Mueller would move to Bristol. He would go there to pastor Bethesda Chapel. He would remain there until his death in 1898. He pastored the same church for 66 years. And throughout the duration of his ministry, he was given millions of dollars in donations. And yet when he died, he had very little possessions that he could call his own. Everything that he had given to be used in the service of the Lord. George Mueller died on March 10, 1898, and the streets of Bristol, England were filled, literally filled, with tens of thousands of people who desired to pay their respects. Now, he's mostly remembered for two things: his work with orphans and his remarkable prayer life. I have said that prayer is one of the most neglected means of grace in the life of a believer, and yet George Mueller, for him, it was what sustained him. Now, I want to be clear here. Not everyone is called to live as sacrificially as Mueller. The giving up of almost everything. Okay, it's a hard life to live. But at the same time, we would do well to rid ourselves of all the junk that clutters up our life and wastes our time. We would do well to get rid of all that distracts us from growing in the Lord. So, believers in Christ, there are several things that we can learn here from George Mueller, and I'll list them out quickly. One, allow the Holy Spirit to be your primary teacher of the Scriptures. Yes, it is good to read other godly men, and you should. They are helpful and they provide excellent practical guides. But if we are to truly know God for ourselves, then we should desire more than secondhand knowledge of Him. If all you know of God is what someone else says about Him, then do you truly know God? So that's first. Second, do not let the world compromise the gospel message. Whether you are a preacher or a layman, we must cling to the truth regardless of what it costs us. Third, be devoted to a life of prayer and meditation. Studying the Scriptures teaches us about God. Prayer continually unites us with God, and meditation seeks to apply what we have learned of God in our hearts in order to bring about our obedience to Him. Brothers and sisters, if you like what you have heard, then I would strongly encourage you to get a copy of the autobiography of George Mueller. Because, truth be told, I've barely begun to scratch the surface. There is so much more within these pages that will greatly edify your soul. They will drive you to the Scriptures, and they will drive you to prayer. For Life and Godliness is a production of Servants of Grace. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, let us know by leaving a review. We'd love to hear from you.